You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Colson. This is Minute 56. This minute opens with Yannick saying, "What is your position?" and ends with Milburn saying, "What do you mean a glitch?" This minute is all about setup. There's not much subtext in the dialogue. It's all very literal. So there's not much to analyze from that perspective. It's time to get into some minutia. It's my favorite thing. Minutia by minute, if you will. Milburn gives his coordinates as 7401477. I guess these are just random numbers because that's definitely not how geographic coordinates work. There would have to be a number for the latitude and the longitude and, in some cases, altitude. For example, my hometown has these coordinates. Latitude -31.952712, longitude 115.86048, with an altitude of 26 meters above sea level. So, have fun with those coordinates in Google Maps. And you might be thinking it's because they're on another planet that the coordinates wouldn't work the same, but no, you can apply this system to any planet or moon. The lunar system is called selenographic coordinates. Obviously, the calculations are unique from geographic ones. But beyond a little bit of math, the Prometheus should have a coordinate system assembled by now. So what are those numbers Milburn gives? At a guess, I would say they're just something random the scriptwriters came up with. But it is so close to something accurate if you'd just given two numbers instead of one, a latitude and a longitude. Another interpretation is that they have mapped out this entire facility and are using a coordinate system unique to this structure. Let's go with that theory. We mentioned the three-dimensional holographic map on the bridge on the Prometheus in the last minute, and I know I've gone in depth about real-world holographic technology already, but it's really well done here. There's a logic behind how it works with the table below and a frame of lights above, which makes it seem plausible. Whereas something like Tony Stark's floating projections are more akin to magic, or a science we don't yet understand. There's not much to be interpreted from the map itself. We get some pod-like structures on the ground, and a series of spiraling paths upwards. There's these big, wide spirals, and then narrower ones, almost like a spiral staircase. Feifels and Milburn are on the ground level, of course, but we see many higher floors above them. We can only guess at what may be hiding up there. In the last minute, I thought those pods might be ships, but I believe the hangar bay is away from the pyramids. We see this at the end of the film, of course. These pyramids are more like control centers. There may once have been a time where this place was swarming with activity, like an air force base. Strange thought to consider in this barren land. These pods or dome structures are obviously the chambers we see the characters explore throughout the film. They appear to be interconnected. There are photos in the footnotes of this map in the previous minute. As for the floors above, there doesn't seem to be any specific function assigned to them by the creative team. It's all empty space. But could this make sense within the lore of this story? Am I reading too much into a graphic intended only to be seen on screen for a few moments? Perhaps. But what else are we going to discuss in this minute? This minutia minute. As the engineers are known to be both technologically advanced, but very traditional and ritualistic, especially in terms of expressions of faith, one might conceive that these upward spirals are actually a kind of labyrinth that the engineers walk up and down in meditation or worship. This is something we've seen in our own history. The earliest form of maze was a labyrinth, which means it is a continuous line, no dead ends. And these labyrinths were often used for spiritual purposes. Humans also built enormous monuments with very little practical purposes. Just look at pyramids and churches, you could fit entire villages in there, and yet they are mostly empty. Well, empty or solid stone. I'll put a link to a cross-section in the footnotes, but pyramids were mostly solid with only a few comparatively small chambers. I always envisioned them as quite spacious. Making them solid would require more materials and effort, but maybe that would have made them less structurally sound. There's a reason they're still standing after thousands of years. Clearly, structural integrity is not a problem for these engineers, though, as these domes are quite elaborate, but built to last. On to costume notes. Yannick is seen wearing a blanket, and as a costume or prop choice, and this is one of those items that can end up in either department, it makes sense to convey that it's getting late and he's getting cozy. A lot of costume is just conveying a subconscious or shorthand message for a particular idea. But would it be that cold? In most sci-fi movies, everyone is wearing jackets, but I think that's just because it looks cool. Admittedly, from a practical perspective, I could see that not using heating could cut down on cost and energy, so I give it a pass. Yannick has contacted the boys to inform them that there are signs of life 1 click, or kilometer, west of their position. Now, judging by the map, the probe is not located in the headroom. I was always under the impression that the life signs were coming from the Hammerpede. But that can't be right given the position and the fact that the worms were already living in the soil in that room. Based on the position on the map, I'm more inclined to conclude that this is the pup David will later encounter that will lead him to the orrery and the hibernating engineer within. I never realized this before, so with that new discovery in mind, I'm now aware that Milburn and Fifield did not get lost and walk directly into danger. I mean, they do walk directly into danger, but they did it by walking away. In hindsight, and rather ironically, had they not been such cowards and gone to investigate, they would likely only have encountered a sleeping giant, and they would have been perfectly safe.
What do you mean, a glitch?
Now, we know that this is not the case. There is definitely something alive in there. But why would the signal disappear? Well, we could blame the pup. Its senses may only have been strong enough to briefly detect life on the other side of that door. Or perhaps this is how cryo works, with their life signs extremely reduced but still perceptible at certain times. Theoretically, that's what cryo would be, not total suspended animation, but simply significantly reduced animation. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue, though, does it? I should, at a later minute, go into the real science of cryo now I think about it. All science is interesting to me, but I think you'll find it fascinating too. It also occurs to me that while the other engineers in their chambers are dead, who's to say when they died? Maybe it was literally right here in this minute. Alright, that about covers it. This is Colson signing off. You can find me on traviandesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook. I would like to thank Robert Black for the review on iTunes, and Harry Anastopoulos for the donation through Ko-fi.